Welcome back. The National Day of Mourning is next Thursday, April the 28th. This day means a great deal to Canadians, especially those who have lost friends, family, and co-workers due to workplace tragedies. I'm honored to be joined now by a couple of captains of the safety and construction industries whose wealth of knowledge and vast experience can help save lives. Kevin Brown is the CEO of Cobalt Safety. He is a safety consulting expert who advises companies nationwide on safety and prevention programs and procedures in the mining, oil, gas, manufacturing, and construction industries. Matt Stainton, CEO, SG Constructors and the Stainton Group, a construction executive with decades of hands-on in-the-trenches experience that makes him one of Canada's most revered and respected builders. Gentlemen, so great to have your powerful voices with us here on the feed. Let's begin with you, Kevin Brown, the significance of the National Day of Mourning.
Significance of the National Day of Mourning right across Canada is to take a time and take a pause to reflect on the workers that have lost their lives while at work and to refocus our attention on making sure workers are safe going forward so that we don't have to keep having these fatalities in Ontario or in Canada for our workers.
And Matt, the Association of Workers' Compensation Boards of Canada, so now these stats are from 2019, but they're still relevant. 925 workplace fatalities. We sometimes refer to them as accidents, but accidents are preventable. What are your thoughts on that high number?
It's far too many. Zero is the number we should be working to. Any task that has to be done can be planned to be done safely, and if it can't, it shouldn't be done, or it should be focused and sequenced in another fashion that can be done safely. We have to get this down to zero.
I was really struck by the fact that 29 of the deaths out of the 925 were young workers between 15 and 24, Kevin.
Yeah, we see young workers coming into our workplace, and they are more susceptible when they first show up, and that's where training and safety training and mentorship and all that's very important to realize that, our young workers need that guidance, they need that safety, and they're learning their jobs. So we can't just throw them into jobs, we have to help them and guide them through those jobs.
So Matt, what's the problem today? What is putting workers at risk from coast to coast to coast?
I think there's a number of factors. One of the largest is the labor shortage in the construction industry. It puts us in a position where workers are going from province to province or territory to territory to find the best paying jobs, and the safety training and the safety regulations are not consistent across the board.
Why is that? And Kevin, I know that this is part of your background. You worked for a while with the Ministry of Labor, you were investigating safety issues. Why is it so piecemeal? Why is there not some consistent rule of thumb when it comes to safety and procedures in Canada?
We see every province in Canada has its own Occupational Health and Safety Act. It has its own approach to safety. It has its own compensation systems. So as the province is devising its health and safety plans and thought processes, it tailors it to the province that you're in. But when you leave Ontario and you go to another province, you kind of have a different set of laws or a different set of approaches on how safety is done. And it's actually very hard for national companies here in Canada to mitigate the changes from province to province within their actual safety programs. So it's actually a detrimental thing for companies that do work on national scales to have such variations in safety here in Canada.
And Matt, does that mean then that there are some provinces who are really below the standard, below the level of safety that should be there to protect workers?
I don't think it's fair to say that there's somebody below the standard, but it's confusing for workers. When you're on a ladder, the hazard is the same regardless of which province you're in. And that's where we'd like to see more standardization of the rules and regulations and training across the province for similar activities.
What about new Canadians for whom English isn't their first language, but they come with such amazing skills and background? What can be done to protect them, and what puts their lives at risk, the fact that they are new to our country and new to the language?
I got that one, Matt. And what we see is, I actually talk about this a lot, which is confusion is actually a hazard. And it's one of those things that shows up when we are trying to change languages or we're trying to train workers who speak different languages, but we're approaching safety from an English standpoint. We have very multicultural here in Canada, and yet a lot of our safety legislations, a lot of our safety trainings are all geared towards the English language. Here at Cobalt Safety, we actually do a lot of training in Spanish whenever we can, and we're currently working on some Punjabi and Hindi courses as we move forward, because I think workers have a right to knowing languages they understand, not just a standardized language. So that can be a bit of a barrier for people.
Matt, your perspective as CEO SG Constructors and a whole lot of time spent in the field and hands-on, what in your view is considered a safe job site environment and what is considered an unsafe job site environment?
A safe job site is one where the worker knows that at the end of the day, they're going to go home unharmed. It generally means that there are good safety practices and it has to come from the top of the company. And there are many, many companies working on any individual job site, but the construction manager or general contractor at the end of the day has to drive that process. The unsafe sites are the ones where people are complacent around safety or people don't put the same value on safety. At the end of the day, safety should be the first priority before you do any activity.
And Kevin, we're not just talking construction here. We're talking about all kinds of sectors, mining, oil, gas, manufacturing, and of course, as we mentioned, construction. What are the risks and are they very much attuned to what the sector is? So there would be certain risks if you're in the mining field, or there would be different risks if you are dealing in gas or oil. Tell us about what those risks are.
All workplaces have some sort of risk when it comes to work. Now, certain workplaces will have higher risk where basically it's more exposure to hazards. So things like a fall hazard or a electrocution hazard, maybe a trench and collapse hazard, you'd find those ones more in the construction sector. But when you go to the manufacturing sectors, we also have variations in hazards there that they are running into. So it's the predictability of hazards. It's the training of how to actually work safely with those hazards. We try to eliminate them as best we can, but and from an honest standpoint, there's hazards in construction and proper training, how to safely work with those hazards, that's what gets the job done.
And Matt, as we edge closer to the National Day of Mourning, is there a personal story that you would like to share, how you've been affected by workplace tragedies?
I've seen more than I'd like to have seen over the years, be it injuries or fatality. And it's just such an impact to the workers' families, to the workers, the co-workers of the injured person. And at the end of the day, it just isn't necessary. And the amount of time, effort, and emotion that comes out of this far exceeds the amount of time and effort that it would take to make sure that it's done safely. So, as I have a son who's entering the industry, I look at that every day and I ensure and remind him that he's got to work safe every day.
And Kevin, who do you send your message to when it comes to workplace safety and the critical shortage of labor and the fact that there is nothing sort of cohesive from coast to coast when it comes to regulations? Who do you talk to? Do you speak to the provinces? Do you talk to the federal government? Who do you talk to and who's listening?
It's a great question. I like to talk to industry leaders because industry leaders can also influence. I'd love to talk to governments and provinces and get them talking to each other on some of this, some of these situations that are there so that there is a cohesiveness across Canada. It would make it a lot easier for companies to work. It would remove some of the confusions when it comes to certain hazards. It would allow somebody who's been trained in Alberta to actually work in Ontario. Right now, if you are trained in fall protection in Alberta, when you come to Ontario, you have to be retrained here in Ontario. And that's a financial burden for companies, and it can be barriers for workers as they look to migrate where the jobs are. So I think it needs to be led right from the industry itself and also from the governments themselves. And an honest look at it and say, how do we improve Canada, not just each province on its own?
And how do we keep our workers safe and alive? Last question, and this goes to Matt. The National Day of Mourning is Thursday, April 28th. It's coming up very quickly. What will and should Canadians be thinking about in the moment of silence?
I think they want to think, I hope that they think about those that have lost their lives, the sacrifices that were made. And I hope that those that are working in the industry look at that and look at the impact that that's had on the people around them, and maybe give them pause to think about the task that they're about to undertake and make sure that they do it in a safe fashion, because it generally does not take any more time to do it safely. It just means good planning, and good planning quite often needs a more efficient job site. So a safe site is an efficient job site. Mm.
Matt Stainton, CEO, SG Constructors. Kevin Brown, CEO of Cobalt Safety. Thank you both so much for joining us on the feed.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Ann.